It was a remarkable achievement that Adolf Hitler was able to convince an entire nation that it was a good thing to exterminate the Jewish race. Not only did the bulk of Germany take part in what Adolf Hitler proposed to do, and that was to annihilate the Jewish nation, but as they did that, they thought they were accomplishing something good. You say Adolf Hitler convinced them that the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, they were a bane to humanity. They needed to be gotten rid of. They needed to be exterminated. And the more we do this and the more effectively we do it, the better the human race will be. And so he effectively killed 6 million of them. Lots of times he would put them in lines. He would separate the men and the women and children. The men he would send to concentration camps where he would work them literally to death with little or no food. And when they starved, he would throw their corpses in huge ditch graves and bring another group of men in to work them to death. Then he would take the mothers and the children, and sometimes if the children were so young that they couldn't walk, he would take them away from their mothers and shove them in train cars that were packed with quicklime. The lime on the walls of the train cars would burn through the skin of the babies and literally burn them to death. And then if any of the children were alive at the end of the train journey, he would throw them into the gas chambers and then incinerate them. 6 million of them. You know, we look at that and we recognize something's wrong there, don't we? We realize that there has to be some type of godless, barbaric drive behind a person that would kill 6 million people. And there's got to be something wrong with the society that would let that happen. Where were the voices that were standing up saying, "No, you will not do this if I have anything to say about it. You will kill these Jews over my dead body"? Where were the people who were crying out for justice? Do you know one of the most remarkable things about what Hitler was able to do was that he virtually silenced any opposition? And no one was standing up for the Jews. You know, the sentence, the quote is attributed to a man by the name of Martin Niemöller. He says, "They came for the Catholics, and I wasn't a Catholic, and so I didn't stand up." He said, "They came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, and so I didn't speak up." He says, "They came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, and so I didn't speak up." He said, "And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me." You know, we look at that and we think that's horrible. I can't believe that any society anywhere would ever let that happen. And that's the feeling that we should have. You know, if we were to look back at the Old Testament society that was the pagan idol worshiping society, there, right outside of Jerusalem, there was a valley called the Valley of Tophet. It was also called the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. In the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, it's named Tophet because Tophet means drums. If I understand it correctly, that's where they would put that statue of Molech. And on either side of that statue, they would have people beating those drums. And in this religious ceremony, if you were supposed to worship your God with everything that you had, and if Molech was your God, and you were supposed to give him the most precious thing that you could imagine, what's the most precious thing that you could imagine that you have? Your child. And so, as I alluded to earlier, they would heat that statue up to burning, hot, glowing bronze, and then mothers and fathers would take their children and they would sacrifice them on that altar to Molech. And every single one of us can look at that and realize something's wrong with that. Now, September 11th, several years ago, there were some terrorists who feel like that the United States is as irreligious and as blasphemous to the Creator as a nation could be. And so several very militant Islamists hijacked planes, and in an unbelievable act of coordination, killed 2,450 United States citizens in a single day. You might have seen some of the pictures. I remember I was at the offices at Apologetics Press. We had one big TV downstairs. We never turned the TV on, but somebody called us and said, "You guys need to watch this." We turned the TV on to see those towers going up in smoke, literally to see people jumping off 60 or 70 stories to their deaths. Maybe you remember George W. Bush got on international television and he gave a speech where he said, "We're going to hunt the people out who did this. If your nation is harboring them, we're going to bring them to justice. We're going to bring you to justice. We are not going to allow this type of murderous criminal behavior to go on in this world. We're going to start a war on terror." You know, we all recognize something's wrong with a society that thinks it's all right to kill 2,450 people in a day without batting an eye. But do you know, on that same day, the very same day, in the United States of America, we legally killed 2,450 of our own citizens that day. The day before, we did the same. Some of them, we sucked their brains out with a high-powered suction-like vacuum. Some of them, we stuck a pair of scissors in the back of their skull and made a hole and then sucked their brains out. Some of them, we stuck some scissors and some tongs in and we pulled them apart by their limbs. We'd pull an arm out and then a leg. Some of them, we sent some saline solution that was such powerful saline solution into their little environment, it literally burned their skin off and burned them to death. That's what we did to them. 2,450 of them that day, and the day before that, and the day before that. Now, where was the George W. Bush speech that says, "Hey, someone's been killing people in our country? It's been reported to us that 2,450 of our own citizens have been murdered. They didn't deserve it, haven't done anything. They were killed in cold blood. We're bringing those people to justice." Did you hear the speech that said we're going to stop killing our unborn children? You never heard that speech. You know why? Because since 1973, we've called unborn children something other than human, and we've allowed people to literally pull them to pieces to the tune of 50 million of them. Now, how in the world can we look back at Adolf Hitler and say something's wrong with that society? And we can look at the place where they were sacrificing their kids to Molech and we can say something's wrong with that society. And then we can somehow feel like in the United States of America, we've got it morally figured out when we kill 50 million of our own kids. And we slap this little medical label on it. We call it pro-choice. And we call it a procedure. And somehow, we're all fine with that. Across our nation, we're somehow fine with killing a million kids a year. And those of us in the Lord's church who know better, we've just kind of thought, well, that's just how it goes. It's just kind of the society we live in. Not much you can do about it. And we don't speak up for them, do we? I write a little kids' magazine. It's called Discovery. We did a very hard-hitting issue of Discovery on abortion being murder how God hates hands that shed innocent blood, some of the stuff I'm going to go through with you here in just a minute. And a parent wrote us about a month or two later. He said, I want to tell you what happened at my house. He said, my 9-year-old, Andrew, he said he read your discovery on abortion being murder. And he said he just couldn't understand that that happens in the country. He couldn't understand that doctors legally kill babies in our country. And he asked me if that was right, if we really do kill our children. And I told him, yeah, that's right. He says, well, we got to do something. Somebody's got to do something. So he wrote a little editorial to his paper. And he said, I'm just a 9-year-old kid, but I just found out we're killing our kids. We're murdering them. He said, and that's not right. He said, and I'd like to go up to the steps of the White House and try to get something done about that, but I'm a 9-year-old and I don't know who would listen to me. Are any adults out there willing to stand beside me to try to stop this? You know, it's one thing to sit in this room and talk about how we need to do right and how we need to love everybody and we need to read our Bible. It's another thing to actually put what you learn into practice. You see, the whole purpose of education is action. If you learn that our culture is killing 1 million babies a year and you think, wow, that's interesting, and you walk out of here and do nothing about it, well, isn't that what the Germans did? It's time that we stand up for the unborn innocent children that are dying every single year. Now, when's the last time you prayed, God, please save these kids? Isn't it a shame that a zit on our face or a bad grade on a test means more to us than lots of times a life of 2,450 kids that are extinguished every single day? And our culture calls abortion a blessing sometimes. Oh yeah, I debated a man by the name of Dan Barker. And he says that, oh yeah, for a young girl who might have some mental trauma, if she gets pregnant, it's an unwanted pregnancy, she's going to have trouble for the rest of her life because she's going to have to take care of this child and she's going to have to find a way to make sure it has something to eat. It could very well be a blessing that you just go ahead and terminate that pregnancy. Now watch the language there. Terminate the pregnancy. Let me translate that for you. Take a pair of pinchers and pull that baby apart by its limbs. Make sure you count all the pieces so you got them all, and then throw them in the garbage. That's the translation of medical procedure there. What's God have to say about that? You understand that when we look at ideas, cultures in the Bible, like when Pharaoh said that he was going to kill all of the male Israelites, if you were standing on the bank of the Nile River and you heard that kerplop of that brand newly born son into the waters of the Nile River. You know what's in the Nile? Same thing you got around here. Well, they got crocodiles, you got alligators. You throw a newborn infant into the water before he has time to drown. A crocodile from the Nile comes and eats him for dinner. And you look at that and you realize something is dreadfully wrong. How could any society sit by and watch something like that? If you were just to ask yourself, what does God think about killing innocent people? Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. You shall not murder. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death. The Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood. You understand that governments have the God-given authority to protect the life of innocent people. Don't you think you should be protected? Don't you think that there should be something wrong with someone opening the door to your house, walking in, tying you up, and burning you to death. Don't you think that there ought to be rules about that? Oh, absolutely. And you so much think that there ought to be rules about that, that if there were not, you would speak up and say, hold on just a second, people in my neighborhood, somebody slams through their front door on a regular basis, ties them up, and several of them get killed. We need to stop this, don't we? Governments have the God-mandated authority to stop the death of innocent children. And yet, lots of times governments simply do not. And our government has killed an entire generation of American citizens. You understand there are only 330 million people in the United States of America? We've killed 50 million since 1973. That's 1/7 of our entire population. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Chad, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1 out of every 7. And have you even given it much thought? You know why? Because we just call it a procedure, we call it abortion, we call it pro-choice, and we don't call it what it is. We live in a society that freely kills unborn children. And we're Christians. And Christians have never been allowed to stand by and watch that happen without standing up for the lives of those innocent people. Here is the reason why you protect human life. In the Founders' Declaration of Independence, the statement is made, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among those are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Do you know, in an atheistic evolutionary society, you're not given any inalienable rights? You see, if you just evolved from primordial slime over multiplied millions of years, then you're no real... You're not much more valuable than, say, a dog, a pig, etc. In fact, if you were to read the literature of the atheistic evolutionists, they would suggest to you, you don't ever keep an organism alive just because it's human. You might have a dog or a pig or a human, and the dog might be a German shepherd. And that German shepherd might be valuable to society. It might be able to grow up to be a drug dog. And the human might have some type of mental problems. And if early on you see this human has mental problems and you've got a limited number of resources, and you see this dog could benefit society, but this human that's going to be a drag on the resources of society is not going to help us, they would suggest you can just eliminate the human, keep the dog, because the dog's going to be more beneficial to your society. You understand, the only place you get inalienable human rights is from a Creator. There's only one place you can get them. You protect human life, not because that human life is smart, not because that human life is going to grow up to be some type of fast runner or some type of brilliant mechanic or intelligent computer genius. You protect human life for one single reason. Human life is made in the image of God. Then God said, "Let us make in our image man according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and the cattle and over all the earth." So God created man in His image, in His own likeness He created them. You protect other human beings and you treat them with respect, not because they're fast, not because they're smart, not because they're pretty, not because they're handsome, but because they're human. Continue with me. "In the day that God created them, He made them male and female in His own likeness." The Bible says there in James chapter 3, "The tongue no man can tame, for with it we bless God, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Whoever sheds man's blood," Genesis 9:6 again, "for in the image of God He made them." You see, Pharaoh slaughtered and butchered infants. Herod did the same when he learned that Jesus might grow to be a king, and you understand more than 1 million babies in our nation every single year. The other day I was doing a little bit of research. Do you understand in China since 1973, 350 million babies have been killed? Between us and China, that's 400 million babies have been aborted. That's more than the entire population of the United States of America. And we're supposed to be the most humane, kind, loving part of human history that there is. We're supposed to have elevated our morality to such a degree that we can look back at past societies and we can show that the stuff that was going on back then was wrong, and yet we've killed 400 million between the two largest nations in the world. Now, let me ask you a couple questions about this. Do you know how much it costs you if you mess with a bald eagle's egg? Let's say you touch. You don't have to touch the thing. You just have to go and mess with the nest of a bald eagle. Do you know what it will cost you if you mess with the nest of a bald eagle? There could be an egg in the nest that's not even fertilized. It could be just an egg like a chicken egg that if you left it there for 3 months, it wouldn't do anything. It would never grow into a baby bald eagle. It's just the egg. If you go and touch the egg of a bald eagle, it will cost you $10,000 and you can go to jail for 10 years if you touch the unfertilized egg of a bald eagle. Now, if you're a doctor, our government will pay you $10,000 a procedure or so to take a baby that is 21 weeks old, already with a heartbeat, already with brain waves, already with nose and ears and fingers, and pull it apart and throw it in the garbage. You don't get fined for that. You get paid for it. You know, in Proverbs 6, the Bible says, these six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to the Lord. One of them is hands that shed innocent blood. Let me ask you a question. What's more innocent than an unborn child? Let me show you how odd our society is about this. I don't know if you were keeping up with the news a little while back. Michael Vick, he was a football player, and he got caught fighting dogs. He had some pit bulls there that he would gamble on and fight them. And he would, if they didn't win, sometimes he would strangle them, sometimes he would kill them. And he was very cruel and inhumane to them. And he was sentenced to what I think 2 years in prison. Had to go to prison for 2 years for killing dogs, because he was cruel and inhumane to them. You know, that seems like something you certainly should not do. If the Bible says that God created us in His image and put us over the creation to subdue it and to protect it, etc., that's certainly something that you would need to avoid. And yet, in the 2 years that Michael Vick was in prison, doctors did unspeakable things to unborn children to the tune of 2 million of them. And doctors got paid for it, and they didn't serve a single day in prison, did they? Let me tell you something else about our society. If a mother decides that she doesn't want her child, she can go to a doctor, have the child removed. Lots of times she can get the government to pay for it. She won't even have to spend a dime on it. Now, let's say there's a guy. I've got an article on this on our website. There was a guy who he got angry with his wife who was pregnant. He took a baseball bat to his wife's stomach, hit her several times, killing the baby inside. Now, if the mom wanted to do that with the help of a doctor, she wouldn't even have to pay a dime. She could get somebody to do it for her. But the dad who hits her in the stomach with a baseball bat goes to prison for homicide. Now, why is that? The mom could have done it the day before and not served any time. The dad does it the next day and goes to prison for it. Woe to you when you call evil good, the prophet Isaiah said. What, it's good that a mother would choose to have her child aborted and murdered, but it's not if a dad decides to take a baseball bat to her stomach? You see, something is wrong here. And I'll tell you what's wrong. From 1973 on, we've decided that an unborn child growing in his mother's womb is not really a person. We've just decided not to grant unborn children personhood. You know the problem with that? The problem with that is God grants them personhood. We don't have that prerogative. We don't get to decide that this human is a person and this human is not. Do you know if you were to go through the entirety of the Bible, you would see that every single time a human is described, he is described as a human or she is described as a human, whether in the womb or out of the womb. Do you remember when there in Jeremiah, we talked about it last night, God says to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I formed you where? In the womb." If you will read from Genesis to Revelation, you will see, "And Elizabeth conceived and bore a child." She conceived a what? Child. She gave birth to a what? Child. Do you know that the term brephos is the same term that's used to describe Jesus Christ, the baby, lying in a manger, as it is used to describe when Mary went to visit Elizabeth and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptizer and the Bible says the babe leaped in her womb. You know what term that was? Brephos. The exact same term that's used of Jesus after he's born. So Jesus is born outside the womb and he's called a brephos. John the Baptizer is in the womb and he's called a what? Brephos. Why is that? Because from the point of conception, God considers every human life valuable. Now, what I'm telling you as a group of young people in the Lord's church is that things aren't right with our society. If you thought you wanted to fit in with our society, you need to understand what our society really is. We've got a society that our president says this about abortion. He said that if his teenage daughters happened to involve themselves in some type of sexual intercourse and became pregnant, he would not want them burdened with that pregnancy and would think that abortion was totally legitimate. That's the society where you live. And you need to understand that it is an ungodly, worldly, murderous, very, very vile in many, many ways society. And you are called to be different. And now here's what we think lots of times. Well, yeah, I mean, that's them. That doesn't happen to us, does it? Let me tell you about a lady. I'm going to say she's 48 right now. I think she was about 19. She and her boyfriend had been messing around. She got pregnant. She didn't know what to do. She knew there were a lot of people in her life that would be very angry at this. So she had an abortion. Not even sure how many people she told. I think she was about 19. You want me to tell you what she does now when she sits in pews like you're sitting in? She does. She's a very faithful member of the Lord's church. She thinks about what her child would have been like now. She thinks about when that child's birthday was going to be. She thinks about what it takes for a mother to kill her own child. She's 48 now. That was about 30 years ago. She can't talk to you without crying about it. She tears up every single time she discusses it. Because she understands that human life is precious. And she understands she took one. The life of her own child. You know the beauty of the blood of Jesus Christ? It forgives everything. There is not a sin that you could have committed that cannot be forgiven. You know this lady understands that. She knows she's forgiven. She's looking forward to going to be with her child in heaven someday. She doesn't fear that somehow the sin is still there because she has repented, she's confessed, she's a Christian, she's prayed for forgiveness, and she knows that God is faithful to His promises and that He's forgiven her. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that for the last 30 years she's ever been able to forget what she did? And do you think that till she dies, she will ever be able to erase the consequences of what she did? She won't. That happens to other people, doesn't it? Look, what we need to understand is that all life is valuable. And we live in a culture that does not teach that to be the case. And we live in a culture that has called it a blessing and unburdening and pro-choice and a procedure and a surgery. When really all it is straight up cold-blooded murder. And we need to decide, are we going to sit by and quietly let this happen? Or are we going to do everything that we can to stand up for the lives of these innocent children? What are you going to do? You see, because the purpose of education is action. And if what you've learned here this weekend does not drive you to some type of action, it's been a waste. You hadn't really been educated. You've just sat and listened to something. What can you do? I don't know. I'll tell you what we do at Apologetics Press. We speak on it every chance we get. We write articles on it. We put the material in our books. We do DVDs on it. I talk to young people and try to explain to them, this is just straight murder. Our society likes to brag and think like we're the most moral society that we've seen in the last 200 years. And yet we'll kill a million babies without batting an eye. And we need to recognize that that's not what we want to be a part of. Do you know what the Christians were known for in the first century? See, in the first century, the Romans, they said they would take their babies out and they would put them on the trash heap. They would just leave them. They didn't want them. Lots of times if it was a girl baby, they really didn't want a girl because a girl was going to not be able to be a soldier. A girl was going to have a lot of upkeep and it was going to cost them money. And so they would literally take their girl babies and they would put them on the garbage heap. And you know what the Christians became known for? The Christians became known for going to those garbage heaps and taking those babies off of those garbage heaps and raising them up to be Christians. You see, that's why Christians have always been different. Because Christians value everyone, not for how smart they are, not for how strong, not for how much money they're going to bring to their house, not for if they're going to get to be a soldier or not, or if we're going to have to pay some kind of bill. We value people because they are people. And isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ showed us in every single interaction he ever had, that people are valuable because they're people? Well, let's make sure we treat everybody like that, including those little people that haven't come into this world yet but are still unborn. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you very much. We're so thankful that you've created us. Lord, we fall on our faces before you and are so sorry that our society has done the horrible things that it has done. We pray that you will please help us to stand up for what's right. Please help abortion not to be legal in this country. Help us to show others that everybody is valuable, even the unborn children, especially the unborn children who are so innocent and have done nothing to deserve what our culture is doing to them. Lord, we thank you for every single one of the young people in this auditorium this afternoon. We thank you for their willingness to come and listen to your word. We thank you for their hearts. We ask that you will please be with them. Please raise them up to do great things in your kingdom. Please help them to have a voice that is strong and powerful and that will stand up for what's right in a world that is turning from you in so many, many ways. We love you. We're so excited about the example of Jesus Christ and how he showed us that everybody's important. We ask that you'll please help us to always remember that and always let that characteristic play out in our lives so that the world can look at us and see your love and Jesus' glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen.